many nerds, too many nerds is what I like. Inducting and dancing and dying around the mic. They interview cause they got guests and they will school you about comedy, comedy, ha, 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 ha. Comedy nerds, I wanna know all what they know. This is the comedy, comedy nerd show. Comedy, comedy, ha, ha, nerds, ha, ha. What's so funny, they tell you so. Ha, 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 nerds.
Junction, Junction, what's your function? You're listening to the Comedy Nerds. I'm Dan McGrane.
I'm Def Theodato.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in on the internet.
Yes.
Dustin, we have a guest this week.
Yes, it is comedic actress and character maven, Ann Carr.
Hey,
hey.
Ann, say hello. You already
hello.
Did.
Hello.
You beat me to the punch. Yep. Ann is, well, you already said it.
Yeah. Ann Carr is the producer, lead actress, and everything you could possibly want for the web series The Actress.
Yep.
You should check it out.
You should.
Where would one find the second episode of that?
You could definitely find it on the comedynerds.com if you just search
enough.
Ann Carr.
Yeah.
Or you could just search Ann Carr on the web or go to her YouTube page. Uh-huh. We'll get to all that.
We'll get that in the end.
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention the fact that
we want to suck people into the world of Ann Carr, and then we'll hit them with this stuff. Because if they're right now, they're like, I don't know if I'm going to write it down. By the end, they'll write it down.
Mm-hmm.
So...
I heard an interesting story about what the word maven means, but we'll move past that. And
that's like one of those like Jon Stewart comments at the beginning of the Daily
Show.
Yeah,
and you're like, what does it mean? What does it mean? I wish I was there. He says, he'll say something and he'll laugh, and then he'll point at someone and they'll laugh even more.
Oh,
and
the
like,
fun they're having!
Inside jokes are awesome.
Not part of it. Oh.
And at the top of the show, we usually like to talk about a little comedy news.
Yeah.
News related. With a comedy element to it. So, Dustin, do you want to start us off?
Yes. Word came out today that they are currently working on an Austin Powers 4.
Really?
Yes.
The world needs that.
Yes. Jay Roach, the guy who directed the previous three, has said that Mike Myers is working on it, and he's going to take it someplace that Austin Powers has never been before.
Outer space.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe the future.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
But I don't know.
Oh, at this point, it now would just be the future, like 2010. When was the last movie? Like
2002.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. A lot of stuff has happened.
Holy. I didn't know that.
Since then. Yeah. Yeah, it's been a while.
It has been a while.
Well, he had to take some time to make the look.
Yeah, I was surprised because they came out in 97, 99, 2002, and then 2011.
I guess so.
Sort of weird.
Yeah, I guess things haven't been going so well for Mr. Myers lately.
Seen him in a while.
Well, he was in Love Guru, and...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I think that got, like, the Rotten Tomatoes, like, score of, like, 3.
Yeah.
I think I saw a trailer. I definitely remember the poster and saying, oh, no.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah.
And that's what everyone else thought. I was like, all right, let's go back to the well. Let's just go.
Yeah.
Well, I remember him saying he wanted to do one, like, every 2 years, like James Bond, which I was like, sounds like a good idea in theory, but... After the third Austin Powers, which was basically just the second Austin Powers, if he scratched out some of the names and wrote in new ones, I was like, I don't know, maybe we should try something different. And then he did, and I was like, no, let's go back to Austin Powers. Actually, I take that back. I'm going to take that back and say, go back to what you were at least decent at, if nothing else.
It's hard to be famous.
It is.
And well-paid.
Yeah.
You gotta work on projects that you might not like so much, but get paid anyway. Mm-hmm. I don't think they made that much money off of Love Guru.
No.
No,
I think they lost.
They lost money.
Yeah.
Would you want to
do that whole thing that he did? I mean, as a comedy actress, would you want to do a movie where it was like, Ann Carr, and Carr, and Ann Carr, and Ann Carr.
Have you seen my one-person show?
No, that's true, but that's true. But I think there's a difference between a one-person show.
No, it's sort of, it's like that joke they make in that, oh God, what's that movie? That wonderful comedy. Comedy that came out with Ben Stiller.
Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they make fun of the, you know, the retarded role.
Yep.
You know, it's like that. It's tacky.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, you see it coming and you're like, oh, it's going to be a disaster.
Let me just pitch you real quick. You're 7 people. 6 of them, you're wearing various size fat suits. Any interest there? Because I'm working on a screenplay. While we're talking, I'm writing down. I just
there's
see
that
you.
Desperate part of me that's like, I'm not kidding. That
you're like, I'll like, read it.
Maybe this could be it.
You're like, I'll read the first 10 pages. I'll see where it goes from there.
Oh,
I'm
no.
not. I'm not saying no. I'm just not saying yes to it either. Hey, in other news,
yes.
So IFC used to do independent film. Screw that though, because apparently they are coming out with an Onion TV series, which is basically just gonna be the Onion News Network, except
yeah.
in a TV series,
which
form.
Is kind of long overdue. That's a quality
with
work.
Those videos they do.
Yes, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Their videos. Don't they have? They probably have like a whole website just for the videos too. Like,
well, it's a section of their website.
Yeah.
Has the news stuff though.
I didn't know
is
that.
It's really
cool.
Fantastic. Oh, you didn't know that?
No, I mean for the IFC doing the.
Oh yes, I'm sorry. Yeah. They're doing that. They're going to put that basically together into a TV show. David Cross had a show on BBC that they're going to start showing here in the United States. I don't know if BBC America is upset with that, but
I think they have to reshoot part of it.
Why is that?
I don't know. There was some issue about the translation over to here, which I thought was odd because
they speak
David
English.
Cross wrote it.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure they speak English in England. I'd have to check on that.
Yeah.
Wikipedia.
I don't mean
I'm
the translation
sure.
as in the words. I mean the translation as in the. I don't know what a car park is.
Right.
But, you know.
I still. Yeah. I mean, I will admit this is. You know, this is pretty lame. When I watched the British Office before the American Office even existed, when I watched British Office. Did have to turn on the subtitles because I had a hard time understanding what they were saying. Well, they talk so fast and they would talk over each other.
If you want to get every little bit.
I understand. And then the DVDs, I don't know if they originally did, but the ones I had a glossary that came with it because there would be all these references to things you didn't know what they were talking about. And so I would pause it and look up. Oh, like you know who some bicyclist. There's like a whole bit about some bicyclist who's like a charity guy in England. And it was like it went on for 3 minutes. I was like, I have no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah, I worked for NBC Sports.
Oh, all right. Fair enough.
I do.
Wait, is this bicyclist like a you know, like a street celebrity and
no, like it was a, like basically like a Lance Armstrong kind of thing.
Okay.
But he was a famous British cyclist.
Okay.
That David Brent does a whole thing about during one of the interviews and I had no idea what he was talking about. And so I looked it up. Look, I'm not ashamed.
I'm sure I had those moments I was like, oh, okay.
Just move past it. And they're also showing the New Kids in the Hall show. So.
And they gave Variety Shack a show too. Don't forget about that.
I didn't forget about it.
Really?
It's just not on this piece of paper.
That's so cool.
I don't know specifically it's a show, but they said they like have projects for them or a thing for them or something along those lines. So yeah, so either way. Although the thing that struck me is maybe I haven't been following them super closely, but the description was like, oh, they've been, you know, doing sketch in the city for years, and it's like they have, but I haven't seen them together in quite a while.
Well, Chelsea Peretti went out west to write for the Sarah Silverman show.
Yeah.
And I don't know what everybody else did. I love those ladies.
Oh, yeah.
So
I just didn't
funny.
Know that they were still doing their thing.
They
know?
Actually, I think they have a show at UCB. Or at
really?
Least Andrea has been doing that. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Then I feel bad for saying that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, I'm thrilled.
Are you
for
in
them.
The loop?
I am not. I'm a comedy nerd, but I've totally missed out on
obviously.
That.
Obviously. Can I do a quick correction?
Yeah.
So the show, the David Cross show, is called The Increasingly Poor Decisions of Todd Margaret, and it was shown on UK's Channel 4. Now I said BBC. But
isn't
it, was
it
on,
BBC 4?
No. Channel 4 is something else.
Is it?
It's separate.
Well, there's BBC, there's BBC 1. I don't know, there's BBC 2 and BBC 3.
Okay.
I don't know if there's BBC 4, but even if there is, Channel 4
is different.
It's separate.
Okay.
It's the one that has commercials. I know that much.
Okay.
That's like a real TV show.
Two other quick casting things, and then we'll move on to something that I want to talk about that is entirely not comedy related.
Okay.
Aziz Ansari will be hosting the MTV Movie Awards.
Sure will.
Which is going to be way better than Russell Brand. because that was not working.
poor Russell.
That.
Oh, it was not.
He was trying so hard. He really, it was like watching a guy trying to juggle balls and they just kept falling.
But the thing was, it seemed like he had like 45 minutes on the Jonas Brothers and people were just like, can you not talk about the Jonas Brothers?
He's a musician, right?
No.
Russell Brand?
He's a comedian.
I think he may play guitar, but he's...
He looks kind of like a rocker.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's well, it's
I
a,
just don't know him.
It's a
well.
Thing. Yeah, he's like a giant star in England.
England. Oh, and they the brought, crossover.
Yeah, the, well, they brought him over just assuming like he would be a giant star here, and it has not worked like at all. Yeah. Like, they keep trying... they're pushing it really, really hard.
He was in...
people are just not accepting
Sarah
it.
Sarah Marshall. Yeah.
Yeah. Sarah he's apparently remaking the movie Arthur.
Yeah, that's probably he's gonna be starring he's a musician. Oh, he plays the guitar.
He definitely looks like one of those.
I can't remember...
rock guys.
I can't remember if we mentioned this in the last episode. But Baron Vaughn has been cast in the USA series.
We did mention it, but...
We did.
It bears repeating.
Yes, facing Kate.
It's fantastic. Yes,
I did. I just said it again. Baron Vaughn will be appearing in a new USA series.
Yes,
so be on the lookout for that. And the entirely uncomedy-related thing is... and it, once again, like I talk about how I've pitched shows to networks and stuff like that, and I'm always on the lookout for trying to, you know, make a new comedy show. And then I find out that somewhere along the line, somebody turned around and said, oh, there's going to be a show about Mike Tyson chasing pigeons. And that got the green light.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yes. There's a show coming out on the... on I think it's on it's on the Planet, whatever, Animal Planet channel.
Yeah. Well, he's not chasing
pigeons.
I was like,
is that supposed
pigeons?
To be a comedy?
I don't even know what it's supposed to be. He's training
for pigeons.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right. I saw his documentary and he did, like, he was... That was his thing when he was a kid.
Yeah.
It was like how he got away from all the abuse.
By chasing pigeons?
No, raising pigeons.
Raising
probably
pigeons?
Chasing them at some points.
I mean, probably to chase them.
Hopefully not off the roof.
To catch them and put them back in the cage so he can continue training them.
Is that,
but
the,
I don't think he was running after them like an 8-year-old.
Abuse from...
Swinging his arms.
Abuse from who?
Well, I think it was rough times.
At home?
Yeah.
So, okay. Hold on. Are you trying to say that maybe... Mike Tyson didn't have the most conventional upbringing.
I am.
Oh my God. You're blowing my mind right now. You're blowing my mind. I thought for sure it was all prep schools and...
That's why he learned how to be a fighter. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds really weird.
Yeah.
But
uncommon. Also, a guy maybe who tattooed his face may have an issue or two would be my guess. It's just a guess from me.
I don't want to take any light into child abuse.
Yeah.
But could you imagine if you did abuse your child and then they grew up to be Mike Tyson? And you're like, oh, I am so sorry.
Dead. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So dead. Yeah. If you ever want to get back at me, I'm
there,
a dead woman.
I know that, what's his name, Adam Carolla apparently had a rough childhood or whatever growing up. And he says, he talks about, like, he'll bitch about his parents all the time, like all the terrible things they did, like on the air and stuff.
That.
And then he'll say, like, you would think, though, if you were, like, just going to be a terrible parent, like, what are the odds that your son would grow up to have his own radio show where all he does is bitch and moan about how terrible you were growing up?
So
like, really, the odds are on their side. It just didn't work out for them because at least once a show, he talks about how much he hates his parents.
That's amazing.
All right, so I think, is that
yeah, well, I just had, you? I had, you know, sad news from the past.
Oh, sad news from
sad
the past.
Sad news! Sad news from the past! So every... Every time we do a show, or most shows at least, I like to... so what happened was, is I was... Just to reset, because maybe we might have some new listeners and doesn't know what's going on. I'm going to tell a story real quick. We would do news, and I would do Google search for comedian and comedy. And one time I was doing it, and I realized that you can go back in time. And in fact, if you go to the bottom, you can go back to 1920 and look up there. So I just out of curiosity, I started clicking around and started finding all these awesome things. So I brought it in. The first time, and now I like to look up, just, you know, and the funny thing was, like, you would think, oh, I'm searching comedy, I'd find all these hilarious stories. No, most of them actually are horribly tragic. Terrible stories. So you missed last week. It was who was it? I can't remember the guy's name right now.
The guy who saved orphans?
Yeah, somebody pulled burning kids out of a building. So that was our first happy story.
So apparently, do we have happy news from the past?
No, this is a sad story. Wife cruel charges film comedian. This is from April 22nd, 1939. So this is how you know it's old, because first of all, Oliver Hardy, fat comedian. All right, right there, first of all. Come on, that
from
is not...
Marlon Hardy.
That is not necessary.
He was famous for being fat.
That's
I know. Yeah. But I think now at least you'd probably say maybe rotund, you know, or whatever. Heavy, but fat comedian. It's a little hard. Oliver Hardy, fat comedian, came to court today seeking a divorce. He charges his wife with mental cruelty.
Ooh.
April 22nd, 1939. There you go. Sad news from the past. It's not easy. It's not easy being a comedian or a celebrity, even back during the Depression.
Couldn't she just
Mental
show?
Cruelty.
Yeah, couldn't she just show all of his movies and be like, "I didn't do that."
Yeah.
You know. Like he's used to it. He's getting like he's getting hit like every day.
Right. Maybe once again, perhaps it was what's his name? It was
Fatty Arbuckle.
No, it was
We cracked the Fatty Arbuckle murder too.
Yeah. They say
it was a heart attack, but we figured out that he was murdered.
Yeah. That's a long story. When he says his wife's mental cruelty, perhaps what he means is it's actually just Stan Laurel in a dress who keeps hitting him. That's another possibility. And keeps dropping a piano on him. He may be confusing his movies with his actual life. So I'm not sure. We could look into that as well. Maybe it's like a Fight Club kind of thing where he doesn't really know what's going
on. You have to do the cold casing on this one.
That one's hard.
Sorry.
I don't know. That sounds like work. I've now lost interest. So Anne,
yeah,
how you doing?
Hi.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure.
So we at the top of the show called you a character maven as you asked us to.
Will you stop ruining the magic of everything?
Demanded.
No, that's what I do. I ruin the magic.
You're not supposed to mention the things in the writer. Okay, we are not. We're not going to go through all of our demands. That would be rude.
Why? I have a bowl of 5,000 brown M&Ms. And I'm going to bring it up because I sat here and counted them out. And there is definitely 5,000.
I think the room looks better with everything white. I do.
It does look better. Yeah. It does look better. I will admit that. But anyway, so you you do characters.
I do.
Clearly. Tell us, we talked a little bit before we started recording, but walk us through again, like how did you start? Where did you start out doing this kind of stuff? How did you know? I want to get up on stage. I want to pretend to be someone else. And, you know, was it at first to make people laugh? Because a lot of times people start out doing a more serious route.
Yeah, I definitely did start out with a more serious route. I tried for a long time to cry. And I couldn't do it.
I find it really easy. On stage, harder. But crying, generally.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, I think I always had a knack for comedy, but I didn't really think that's how you, like, I didn't think it was serious, not to be ironic.
Yeah.
I just didn't think it was, like, serious enough. And so I got into theater and I did Shakespeare and I did, which is wonderful, but
you can tell she's serious because of the way she said it.
Yeah, really.
I say Shakespeare because I am not trained in anything.
I bet you spell theater R-E.
I do spell it R-E.
Yeah, see?
I do.
You're serious.
Well, that's actually because I lived in France for a time, though, and I was like, it's just nicer to write it like that.
You
looks
lived
better.
In France? What did you
I
do
did.
In France?
I studied. I was a student. I studied in an American college. I think I took one class in French, and that was English.
Nice. That's awesome.
But you took English in French.
Yeah, we studied Oliver Twist.
Sweet.
Yeah,
awesome.
I got an A.
I hope so. I hope you got an A in English.
I like how when we asked, "What are you doing in French?" He was just like, "Oh, I was just studying. I was just studying. Like it's no big deal. Like I went to school in Old Westbury on Long Island, so I think France might be
abroad.
A bit of a
study abroad. It was a study abroad. It was only 6 months. Nice. I wish
but
I could go back.
Sounds well, a little smarter when you're in another country.
Yeah.
Like, well, I studied studying the same damn thing.
Yeah. I kind of studied
or
abroad.
Or cheating by taking English in France.
Yeah, I kind of totally studied abroad because I lived in Suffolk County and I'd drive to Nassau.
Oh.
So it was like, you know, it was like an international, well, inter-county thing at
inter-county.
The very least. Yeah. That's great. So you're doing Shakespeare.
I started out quite serious about it and like did all those serious things and then went to college and I did main stages and then I came here and I studied in studios and that's when I was like, I can't cry, you know, like I was like, arr. And I was really, I think I was getting really cerebral about everything and that's not really why I like to perform. It's very visceral and like, you know, it's immediate for me. And and then I started dating my boyfriend, Warren Holstein, who's a stand-up. and I started doing this voice that became my first character, Janie, who's like this, like, perpetual child. She's just never grew. Like, she's that child in me that, you know, expresses herself.
Can we hear a little bit of that voice?
Let's see. Hi, guys. Hi, it's me, Janie. I like to perform, but I'm sort of, I'm a little bit petrified about it. Also, at all times, I must have a belt full of Twinkies around my waist, because I get very nervous when I do get on stage. I'd like to get on stage, but it's a little bit nerve-wracking. My biggest, I'm a very big fan of all of the nighttime soap operas of the 1980s, specifically Dallas. I love Victoria Principal so much. That's her. It's been a while.
Nice.
She has saliva problems.
I can tell. I am actually aware. I was trying to not say anything, but then once you brought it up, I would point out. I figured it was only fair to point out. I've been hit.
I was going to say, Dustin, I'm all disappointed at you that you didn't do the James Lipton thing of saying, can we talk to Janie now? Can we meet?
You could have said that.
I know, but you, I didn't have a chance, though.
Also, by the way. Okay, yeah.
Also, by the way, I was joking. I don't mean to blow your mind, but
many
I was just kidding.
Are said in jest.
It's true.
Well, now you've blown my mind because I have to go back and check every joke I've ever told and see if there's any truth in any of them. So now you just started doing that. Now, was there at what point you were like, I'm going to get up on stage and start doing Janie?
It took me a while. We would get stoned, and then I would
we
just
don't condone
go.
That this interview is over.
I'm embarrassed. Mm-hmm. I hope my
I can't believe
my, don't
I can't believe this
him.
Is the first comic that we have had
who does illegal drugs.
Yes,
I am shocked.
And a poll
at the conversation we're having right now. This is terrible.
All right, we're gonna take a break, and when we return, we're gonna talk about saying no.
Yes,
anyway,
and also
I'm
gonna find out. Who's Ann's dealer is. No. What? Anyway. So now, I think I already asked this question, but when do you decide I'm gonna get up on stage?
You did. You totally did. That was your
question. I know, but then it got sidetracked.
I used to get stoned a lot. I did. And I would do this character all the time, and Warren was like, There's a total character there. You gotta get up and do something with this. Write something with this and mm-hmm. get up. And it took me a while to get the guts up to do it. And I took my time. And then I just one day I started recording, just freestyling, like just talking in her voice. Usually a character comes to me in the voice first, and then the rest follows through. And then just all this stuff started flooding up, you know, in that voice. And I started writing through recording. I don't do that anymore, which is, it's actually a good way to write, to find stuff. You're riffing, you know. And I might do it now if I do videos. Like, I do these little character videos, and I write out little skeletal sketches of what I want to talk about. And I might write it that way. But this was, like, completely organic, and I just, like, started talking into the tape recorder, and I wrote it that way. I wrote my first piece, and then I went down to Surf Reality, and I performed it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just kept going.
That's great. Dustin, I think we're going to take a break.
Yeah, we're going to take a break. And I want to talk to you more about Surf Reality when we get back, because that place was, like, that was theater at its purest, man.
Yeah.
That was an interesting moment in time.
Yes, that was for the love of the game, if anything.
It really was.
Ever was.
All right,
so we'll be right back.
Yeah, and when we do, I really need the name of that dealer. We'll be right back.
Do you have a question or topic you would like to hear the Comedy Nerds discuss? Send us an email to info@thecomedynerds.com or stop by the site and click Contact Us at the top of the page. We look forward to hearing from you at thecomedynerds.com.
Hey, and we're back with Ann Carr. We're talking about character-related or character comedy stuff. I don't know why I said related.
When last we left, you were talking about your bringing your character into the comedy world.
Yeah, bearing bearing the fruit of my loins into the comedy world.
Mm-hmm. I think I actually would.
Is that where your comedy comes from? Your loins?
Directly. No.
Okay. If you can indulge me a little bit, I think I would like to hear, and hopefully our audience would like to, a little bit about your process, because I find that very interesting. About you were talking about how you record. How you record, you know, into a kind of tape player or something, and then go back over it. Because that is completely not how I do it.
That was how I first found a character, and I first wrote my first piece that way. But now it's when I learn a new character, and it's a lot more haphazard than I would like it to be. Mm-hmm. I would like it to be more methodical, you know. My newest character is this woman, Linda McNickers, who actually I found, you know, Becky Yamamoto.
Yeah.
Becky Yamamoto, Becky Yamamoto. Stucky Murray sang this song a while back, and that was a riff in it, and I just am like, I can't help myself. But she wrote this really great piece. We did a shoot. What's her name? Ida, My Vagina Is So Dry character. And she's doing stand-up, and Linda McNickers is the MC for the night. And it's a new character, but the name is amazing. And Becky wrote the, you know, like a couple lines for her. And then I just started riffing in the video. Mm. And it's sort of a cross between Ellen DeGeneres and that wonderful actress. Oh, God, what's her name? Jane from... From
SNL?
Almost no, not from that Glee,
and okay. Jane Lynch.
Yeah, Jane Lynch. Okay. I love her. So it's sort of a cross between that, and I'm going to start developing her, but it's also about the voice first. A voice comes first, and then a character comes.
It's interesting to me you say how you learn a new character, like as though, I mean, obviously you're just creating it out of whole cloth, but I would just find it interesting you use that word, that you sort of, it's almost like you're, I forgot, some famous artist said, you know, the statue's in the marble, I just have to get it out of there. Uh-huh. It's almost like you, so this sort of, this exists somewhere in the ether, and you're
whispered into existence.
Exactly.
I think it was Gallagher who said that.
Yeah, totally. I think it was.
Yeah. Gotta be. Yeah.
No, it was Gallagher.
Oh, I'm sorry. Right, he was talking about a watermelon, not marble. I forgot. Yeah.
Continue.
Oh, Linda McNickers. Hi, this is Linda McNickers. I'm here with Dan and Dustin. We're doing a radio show here, and I just wanted to talk a little bit about my process. I write a lot of jokes. I don't really know how I do it, but here's one I've been kind of mulling over. You guys ever have buffalo wings? That confounds me, because buffaloes don't have wings. I don't know. I'm not sure. I got to work on
that's
her.
It's funny because it's true.
It's so true, Dan.
That is true. I like it.
Yeah, I'm working it out. And so I did the little Ellen dance, you know, and she moves in a certain way. It's like real jazzy and kind of dorky, and she's just... I like it. It's the kind of essence starts, like you start finding like, oh, this is how they feel about themselves. It's more about a feeling too. I don't get into like, I should be more like, I like this color. And, you know, Linda McNicker's favorite movie is, you know, that kind of stuff. But it's more of a, like what, where they're coming from, like, you know, that kind of thing. And
I think a philosophy is what an improv teacher might call that.
Okay.
That each character should have a philosophy.
That's probably it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, their philosophy of like that dancer character that you saw, Laurel Fields. She's just the greatest dancer in the world, even though to everybody else she's not. But she is an artist, you know, and that's the greatest thing you could ever want to be, even if you're not successful at it. A little self-reflection? No, I'm just kidding. I'm successful.
I mean, that was the dancer's character's name?
Laurel Fields.
She's just great. I mean, I just love how every and that's true too. Like everything's in the body. Like she just sort of moves in this sort of cat-like way. Like, every, why, like, and it's so funny because I know people like that.
Does the audience know what you're talking about?
As she's talking, I'm going to get to it. As
she's, okay. What are you, you're getting
has
to
this character who's a dancer. She just said that. How much more do you need to know?
Okay.
She's a dancer. It's a character.
No, you're just talking about it as low the audience.
All I'm saying is, like, she's one of those people that, like, she's constantly stretching. Like, always has some sort of pose going on.
It's
always
true.
Stretching.
It really is very physical, too. Like, once I find, if I'm cut off from my body in a character, then I know I don't really have it. Like, it's got to be, there's, well, I'm a huge fan of physical comedy, so I think that's where my, I kind of, maybe, and I think the reason for that is that's where I kind of find my fruit. Like, you know, I kind of figure it out from the voice and the body, and then the rest kind of comes from that. Janie's not so physical, but she's got enough going on. And then Laurel actually came from reading Twyla Tharp's book about, like, how to be creative. Like, it's something about, you know, making creativity part of your life. I can't remember the title of it. It's actually a good book, but I was, like, reading it. I have a hard time with her because I like her so much, but at the same time, I'm like, oh, God, Twyla, get over yourself a little bit. I was reading about the boxes, how she gets a cardboard box before she starts a dance piece. She gets a cardboard box, and just throughout her day or, you know, her life, she'll just pick up things that just occur to her and put them in the box because that'll be become part of the piece. You know, if some for some reason they strike her as, you know, something she ought to pick up and, you know, take and put into the box, then she will. And I was like, oh my God, where do you put your boxes? First of all, I live in New York. I don't know about you, but no, but I was just like, that's so perfect. Like, there, so Laurel has a line where she's like, you know, I don't know how I do it. First I get a basket and I pick up these things in my life and I put them in the basket. You want to try? Go ahead. Get a basket. Make a dance. Yeah, I just, and then she has this refrain where she says, this is dance, this is dance. Like these really innocuous things. She's like, she like mimes shit and then she's like, that's dance. And that I got from not even watching it, but somebody described a Bill T. Jones YouTube video where he's like holds a cup of coffee and he's like, that's dance, you know. I'm like, that's awesome. Yeah, so I think it's just things like that where I'm like, oh God, you're so funny and you don't even know it, like that kind of thing. And then she came out of nowhere. Like I used to also in college I would watch the modern dancers and be like totally like, you guys are awesome, I wish I could do that, you know. Like, so it's not necessarily also like, I don't just mock, I like love. I love, it's, there's love behind the, I guess it's mocking a little bit, but there's love behind it, you know.
Well, I think that's where the best kind of mocking comes from.
I think so too.
When you a little
absolutely
bit kind of like it. Yeah, definitely. Because it's so funny, like those kind of extra, like you talk about picking up things and putting in a box. Like, those are the kind of things I always think, like, oh God, that's so stupid. And then I like, will try it. And then it totally works. And I'm like, wow, that really was, it was an excellent thing to do.
Yeah,
damn
but
it.
Then you realize, like, and I could do this, but I don't want to be that person. Yeah. I don't want to put things in. I don't want to, like.
Instead of walking around with a box.
I don't want to have an inspiration box in my home. I'm not. No, thank you, sir. What did you, no, sorry. I didn't mean to. Did you find that, because I'm sure you didn't write your first monologues for stand-up. I'm sure you had written monologues before that. Did you, what is it like doing it specifically for a comedy crowd versus a theater crowd, which is what you were brought up with, I guess?
Yeah, right. Well, for a while I did sketch with Andre Dubuchet for Giant Tuesday Night, who's he's brilliant. He was writing for Conan for a while. He's just brilliant. And he was like so prolific and just such a good writer. And he would do a lot of things where he wasn't full out doing a character, but inhabiting a character enough that you're like, just, you totally buy it. And he's just such a brilliant writer that it just, it doesn't matter like whether he's got a whole outfit going on or not, he just does it. And he's great. And
he's got a presence about him too.
Oh, he is so brilliant. I love him. And, God, he's funny. And my favorite is that he does, I don't know if you've ever seen Boutique Wilson, Q2Q.
No.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, my God. I don't know if there's like a video of it, but it's my favorite thing ever. And I was asking him, I was just like, you know, because I would bring these characters to the show and do them, and they would go over okay, but, like, I felt like I could be hitting it harder, like, better, like, the sweeter spot. And he was like, you know what you should do is, like, when you do your bits, like, make sure you, like, say right from the very beginning who you are, who they are, and what you're doing there. And it works. Like, if I find that when I do a character at a comedy show, like, if I get that to them in the first minute or 30 seconds, then we're good. But if they don't know that, like, why I'm there or what I'm doing there, who they are to me, then it loses its steam really quickly. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's how I do.
Okay.
And I try to write tight jokes. I try to write jokes within the bit that are, you know, very, like, solid.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's just, like, it's a little too nebulous for a stand-up crowd because they're used to having that. It's mathematical, you know? They're, like, brains, and their brain has been intercepting this material in a certain way, and then I come on, and I'm like, whoa! I'm just gonna be weird, and you're gonna like it. And it can work at some points, because I do have a very forceful, I'm very committed. Like, once mm-hmm. I get on and I'm a character, it's all balls to the wall. But, like, it works better if I have jokes, tight jokes written in, and I have, like, a purpose in the very beginning.
Mm-hmm. Has anyone ever come up to you after a show only to be surprised you're not that person?
They're like, I didn't know that was you up there.
Right.
That's where I'm like, don't be offended if nobody says anything because they probably didn't know who you are. But yeah, I transform when I do a character that's, you know, all my characters, I really transform. And I think that's just, I don't know, I just have a very rubbery face. And I just do, I get really gross, and I like it. I like grossing people out, you know? I do. I get a thrill out of it.
That's awesome. since we're running out of time, let's talk about The Actress. Is that?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, you have a new web series.
The Actress is my new web series, and it came about because I was like, well, okay, I did this show at UCB for around a year, and it was my first
critically acclaimed show.
Critically acclaimed, thank you. Yes, the Time Out New York Critics pick. I did that for around a year, and it was my first effort that was not, that had structure to it, that had, like, a kind of storyline to it. Because before, I would get up and do these shows, which I got great feedback on, but they were shows that were all character, and they were kind of very disparate. They weren't connected, really, only very, like, slightly. And so I wrote this show that was really kind of autobiographical in a lot of ways, and also fantasy in some ways, or more nightmarish. And it did really well. And after it stopped, I was like, oh, shit. Like, what do I do now? And I really liked that whole show. It's a good show, you know? Like, what do I do now? And I was like, well, start making videos of the scenes. And then it's just sort of like the videos became, well, I've only done, well, not only. I've done two episodes, and now I'm going to launch my third in April. But the scenes became full pieces because there was no way to do it the way I wanted to do it unless I'd made it a whole world. So, like, my Starbucks scene, we shot in a Starbucks, guerrilla style, and nobody knew what we were doing there. And so we had to shoot the whole thing all the way through. And she falls apart and, like, cries and stuff. And I had to just do it, even though I was like, I don't really feel like I'm crying completely. You know, like, I was just like, just do it, Anne. Just shut up and do it. Like, and it turned out, I really am happy with the way it turned out. And then the second scene is the sister scene with Margot Lightman, who's awesome with my sister. She's so evil. She's so great. And my real sister is not evil. But some of that is pulled from my real life of my sister.
She didn't seem like she was being evil. No,
it's not intentional. Exactly. It's not only, like, Hannah feels like, you know, steamrolled every time. Mm-hmm. She gets herself into this conversation. She's like, crap, I did it again. You know, like I opened myself up to you again. And, okay, go ahead and say what the negative stuff you're going to say. I'll just be quiet because I know you're just going to keep saying it.
I like how it all came full circle in the sense that you got into comedy because you couldn't cry, and then you cried in the very first thing that you did in the video.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Yeah.
So I do have to ask. So I guess the guy behind the counter. Obviously not an actor.
You were
just talking to him. Was the woman with the baby, was she?
That's Molly Lloyd.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
good.
Molly Lloyd, who's on Bastion at UCB.
Mm-hmm. I only say good because I would be upset if something... Because my favorite part, and for the audience, you're crying, you start talking to this baby, and then the mother comes over, and she's very upset that you're talking to her. And as you're walking out, you say to the phone, "I just freaked out a baby," which is... I laughed out loud at that line. So good. I was just like, oh, I would be upset if you were just like, no, that just happened. I am that good that I pulled something awesome out of a weird thing.
Yeah, I just freaked a baby out. It was from the show, too.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's one of my favorites, too. Yeah.
Well, I think that you have a benefit that a lot of, like, comedic actors don't have, or that I haven't seen in a lot of people, because it seems as though you're willing to take the time to round out the character in a way that I think just basic comedians won't do.
You mean stand-ups?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I just in the sense of, like, I've seen a lot of people do characters and stuff like that, and it is all about the laugh. And I'm not saying that you're not funny, because you are. But there's time spent to bring the whole thing together.
Yeah.
You know, and I wonder, like, as comedians, typically we end up focusing just on the comedy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's this thing that you're trying to do. And for me, especially the type of things that you do, I enjoy them the most when I see the dark in the character's eye, when I see the pain in the character's eye, where it's not just, like, the person saying funny things, but then every once in a while there's that, like you said, that, like, that self-hatred that they have, or that, you know, that insecurity that they have, that brings it to that other level. And it's not just a character that farts every fourth word that they say, and, you know.
Yeah.
Although Dan will go see that movie every week.
That actually sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie to you. So he farts every fourth word?
Yeah.
He says four words and then farts?
Yeah. On the fourth word.
I'm probably going to write up a draft of that.
Okay.
You know. No, I mean, I totally agree. When I was watching it, what I loved was that it was a slow build. Because, you know, I'm just in that, you know, that world now where it's like, oh, there's got to be four jokes on every page. Like, you know.
Really?
Just like,
do there?
Well, that's what some people say. But I mean, I just felt like I was so much in that mindset. And I'm, like, doing a lot of writing and, like, trying to, you know, make sure, like, Make the intro as short as possible. Like, get to the joke, get to the thing as quick as possible. And not that you were, you know, lollygagging or anything. I mean, everything was great, but it just was this sort of, like, slow build. You kind of get dropped in this world. You weren't quite sure what was happening at first, and you learned everything you needed to know about that character without her ever actually saying directly what it was. And then she went behind a Starbucks cutout thing and started crying, which was awesome. it was amazing, though. And then, you know, it's funny too about that, the second episode was just, I see this sort of thing all the time about, if I can make it real for a second, I just, you know, that thing between women where they're cutting each other down, but with a smile. That's just amazing to me because it's so foreign, because, like, my brother calls and we have situations, you know, conversations like that, and I'm just like, dude, shut the fuck up. Like, you totally know what you're saying right now. Don't be a dick. Like, you know, whatever. We just cut right to the quick. He's like, yeah, you know what? I was being kind of a dick. You're right about that. Yeah. And then it's over and we're talking about football again.
I do find that with ladies. It's more like, well, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but... So yeah. I'm going to be passive aggressive instead and probably hurt your feelings even more. I don't know what that is where we just can't lay it out like that. It's much healthier to do that.
But I have that relationship with my parents. I've had that,
oh,
like,
really?
Why don't you, you know, like, when I was working at 30 Rock, why don't you drop your resume off to Lauren Michaels?
Oh, my God.
Why don't? Because I'd get fired.
Yeah.
That's exactly the reason why I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. And because he would tell me to go screw.
Right.
That's not at all how that works.
Yeah.
The industry of, you know.
And,
like,
the hardest part about that is they're just trying to help.
They're just
but they're
to
so,
help.
It's so, like, please don't, you know, please, please don't. You're going to drive me crazy. It hurts.
Yeah.
It's like hurtful in a way. You're just like, really? Do you think, like, if I were a doctor, would you be telling me how to do surgery? Like, it's the same thing. It's just, well, not, but, you know, like, don't do that. Don't.
Well, that's another great thing. Like, in the video, the sister's like, well, why don't you just go on TV? Like, oh, well, yeah.
Well, you just have to do that.
Why
you
don't
just,
I?
Oh, yeah. Well,
why don't
will.
You stop doing theater and just get on TV?
Yeah. And also, I think the whole thing of, like, did you get any of those auditions? Like, I'd tell you if I did.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if anything good was happening, you'd know about it. Yeah. It's not like I did not tell you about my sitcom. Yeah. You know?
That's actually true. My mom, when I would get something, my mom would get mad and be like, well, how come this is the first I'm hearing about this? It's like, because there was 100 that I didn't tell you about and I didn't feel like hearing about.
Yeah.
So did you get that thing? No, I didn't get it. Like, just, I'll tell you when I get it, but don't worry about it, because I made that mistake in the beginning of telling people things, and then, you know.
Because they, honestly, they're like, oh, you find out the next day.
Right.
No.
No. And also, I may not get the job, so.
And you get every job, right?
Yeah.
It's like, it's like 3 out of 4.
Yeah.
Oh,
my God.
I don't want to go to Family Christmas 6 months from now and have every single person ask me, you know, hey, did you get that job? No, I didn't get it. But thank you for asking me 6 months after the fact.
Although
you probably would have heard something.
I got to tell you, when my dad lost his job, and he was going on, like, you know, he was sending out resumes and stuff like that, and he turned to me, he's like, you know, it's rough because you send out these resumes and then you just never hear anything. And I was like, aha!
Now you know.
Yes, you fucker. Give me all that more time. That's what it feels like. The void of just put things out. Nothing comes back.
Right.
Suck it. He's never going to listen to this, so I can talk all sorts of shit about him.
Yeah, yeah.
What? Yeah, he's told me to be a teacher. Like,
oh, I got that too.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, and I stood up and I'm like, I'm out of here. Bye. No, I left the room, but...
Awesome.
I don't want your life, is what I say to people. I watched that movie a lot. What is that? I don't even know what that movie's called.
Varsity Blues.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm sorry.
Varsity Blues.
I was going to say Friday Night Lights, but I knew that was wrong, though. Oh, you've never seen it?
No.
Oh, James Vanderbeek's dad tells him to do something.
To play football. He doesn't want to play football anymore.
Oh, he doesn't want to play football? Is that what it is? Oh, okay. I guess I haven't seen it in a while. And then James Vanderbeek responds, one of my favorite lines in movie history. And he goes, I don't want your life. And he storms out. My
is
favorite.
Is that before Dawson's Creek or after?
I think it's middle, right? Isn't that in the middle of Dawson's Creek? Yeah, it was
now
during.
He's on Mercy.
Oh.
Is he?
Yeah.
Really?
He is.
Like, regularly?
I don't watch it. I just saw a trailer for, like, the next episode, and he's on it.
Wow.
And what an unfortunate name, that.
Vanderbeek?
Vanderbeek.
I don't know.
It hasn't stopped him.
Yeah.
Deutsch.
Dutch.
Deutsch.
Anyway, before we go,
not having a microphone has never stopped sound engineer one woman.
Yeah, she likes to talk. That's fine. We love her though. And thank you so much for being on the show. I'm afraid, guys, I'm afraid we're out of time.
Oh my
gosh. I don't know what to say. You've been absolutely fantastic.
Yes.
So the whole time.
Merci.
Oh, please. I don't know what that means.
And if you want to hear more from Miss Ankar, you could see her performing all over the city regularly. You can check out her YouTube page.
Yeah.
We'll link to it. But if you have a pen,
write this down real fast.
Yeah. The channel is Dear Nanny.
Yeah.
Spelled DearNannie.
Because when I set up my YouTube page, I didn't know what I was doing. It was a few years back. I was like, oh, I'll just make it the name of something nobody would ever recognize or think of when they're trying
the
to find
to
my
promote.
Videos.
Yeah. But you could just search Ankar on the web for the most part. You're the most famous one. So,
well, remember when we all got email addresses at first, and they had like funny names on them, and then you like had to do something serious, and someone asked for your email address,
that's like
and
my
you're
YouTube
like,
channel.
Yeah, but then that's when I realized I had to go out and get an actual, like a real email address with my name, because I couldn't tell like the guy, you know, at the loan office, like, oh, well, it's Snarf, spelled like it sounds.
Somebody had
write
it
that
like
down.
Jesus Whore or something like that. Whoring for Jesus.
Yes, that's my favorite. One of my favorites.
Do you know that one?
Yeah.
Oh,
no. Oh, yeah. I definitely know that one. Yeah. Margaret Dodge.
Yes, Margaret Dodge. Yeah, Margaret. Yes. Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, this is my. I was so jealous when I saw
that. I was like, that's great. That's a great name.
Cool. So,
yeah, so check out. Is there anything else you'd like our listening
Watch
audience?
Watch my web series. It's really good.
Yeah.
Working it hard.
It's really good.
On it.
It's really good.
You can check it out on our website if you are unwilling to Google. and we will let you know when episode 3 comes out. Yeah, it's coming out later this month.
It'll be out in April.
Okay.
We got to edit it.
Great. Well, thank
With
you so
Tom
much.
Tom Shalhoub and Christina
Gausses. Oh, my God.
So.
Wow. Was there, that is a powerhouse.
Was there a little heat between you and Tom about the, because you were both up for best one-person show?
We were at each other's throats, yeah. Obviously.
He can be a douche, right? I mean.
Totally.
Yeah. No.
I love him.
That's like if I ever He's see awesome. Or find out who's behind Video Gum. There's going to be trouble.
Me too.
That's who we
me
lost
too.
To. So I'm not sure who that is or what they do exactly.
I doubt that's the only person we lost to. Anyway.
Well, they won and we came in second place.
Okay.
Right? Oh,
That's what you told me when I was crying in the car later.
Yeah.
and thank you so much for being on the show.
Yes.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you guys for listening. Dustin, thank you for...
Why do you keep
in?
Thanking me at the
I
end of the
show? I don't know. Just thank you. Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road back again.
Before we go, can we just get one more character from you, Miss Amber?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, well, Marilyn.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Marilyn. I just want to let you know right off the bat, I don't really do... comedy shows. I don't even really like them. Occasionally Jay Leno, because I love the pet segments. Yeah. I do. I love animals. But shows that I like more, they tend towards, they got a little more oomph to them, you know. I love CSI Miami, Without a Trace. I love all the Law and Orders. I love Law and Order SVU in particular because of Mariska Hargitay. She's my very favorite. A wonderful, wonderful girl. I have a funny feeling that if we ever met, we would become fast friends. Best friends, actually. We'd go out and we'd have coffee and muffins and maybe writing on journals. I'd probably be her the godmother of all her children. That's Marilyn.
All right.
Awesome.
Thank you. Thanks
Thank
so much.
You,
Anne.
Thanks,
Thank you,
guys.
Marilyn.
Bye.
Thank you guys for listening.
Thank
Bye.
You.
You've been listening to The Comedy Nerds. If you have any questions or comments, please email us at info@thecomedynerds.com. Check out our website at thecomedynerds.com where you can comment on any past episodes. And if you enjoyed this show, please write a review in iTunes and tell the world how awesome we are. For Dustin and myself, thank you for listening.